World Football at AFCON from Ivory Coast.
Hello from Delith Lloyd. Welcome to a bonus Sunday edition of World Football at AFCON. No doubt Ivory Coast fans will still be celebrating after their dramatic late win over Mali on Saturday. They'll face DR Congo in the semi-finals. Meanwhile, South Africa will take on Nigeria after making it to the last four with a victory on penalties over Cape Verde. The hero of the day, the South Africa keeper and captain Ronwen Williams, who saved four penalties.
My phone is full of penalty clips, so screens, you know, to the analyst for doing the work, because it's not easy to get, you know, footage of some of these players, you know, with the claim all over the world. So yeah, big up to the analyst for preparing the clips of these to watch and study, and I know that I made my job 70% more easy because I had an idea of where most of them players were going.
Well, joining us from Ivory Coast is World Football's John Bennett and Africa football expert Mahi Mizahi. Hello to you both.
Hi, Delith.
Hey, Delith, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Mahi. Great to speak to you both. John, I mean, first of all, just describe the mood. I mean, how's it changed over there over the last couple of weeks? I know you've only been there a few days, but from looking down and out, the hosts Ivory Coast have somehow come back from the brim a couple of times and they're into the semi-finals.
Yeah, what an escape act. Yeah, it's very quiet today, as it always is in Abidjan on Sundays. But yeah, it was been party time, really, for the last 24 hours, but particularly last night when the final whistle went. Everyone watching here on TV screens around the city of Abidjan, people flooded into the streets. There were fireworks going off. They must have been prepared because they went off straight after the winning goal went in on 122 minutes. So the fireworks were ready to go off. People driving around, beeping their car horns. And apparently the atmosphere in Bouaké, where the game took place, was extraordinary as well. Yeah, the expectation is there now, Delith, which is interesting because my experience of this Ivory Coast team, having covered African football for, what, about 10 years just over now, is that they play better when the pressure is off. When the pressure is on and people expect them to win, they're not so good. So, yeah, let's see what impact that has in the semi-final.
Yeah, the pendulum's about to swing, isn't it, Mahi, as John was saying there. But what a story it's been for Ivory Coast to come back from literally being down and out, you know, in the group stages, and then the last 16, you know, last minute winners and the quarterfinals. You can't make a story like this up. Is there a feeling now, Mahi, that arguably, you know, the destiny of fate is with them?
Yeah, written in the stars, somebody told me yesterday. I remember speaking to one of our colleagues prior to the match against Senegal, and he was telling me that this team, they're like a bunch of zombies. They can't be killed. And I think we have to give a little bit of credit to the Ivorian coach, the interim manager, Emers Faye. He's 40 years old. This is his first coaching job, and he takes over in the middle of the tournament after their French coach, Jean-Louis Gasset, was fired. And what he said after the Senegal match was that his first 2 days in charge, yes, they worked on training, but he said the bulk of our work, the majority of our work, was psychological. He told his players that I want to rediscover the elephants that I knew. Put them through, he made them watch, you know, former highlights of theirs, and he just tried to build their confidence. And you could see that until the very end of the match yesterday, they weren't giving up, they believed. And I think that's the main difference between the first Cote d'Ivoire that we saw at the beginning of the tournament and this one at this current iteration.
Anything to worry about energy wise, or will the momentum just take them forward, do you think, John? Because obviously it must be mentally draining as well, particularly in the knockout stages, the matches they've played.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Delith. I think that's a big factor. As you mentioned, I've only been here a few days, but I've been shocked by the temperature here. I don't think I've experienced heat like it at any of the Cup of Nations I've been to. It's the humidity which causes the real problem. I think it was 95% humidity at the game I was at here in Abidjan on Friday, which was the Nigeria-Angola game. So I think that will be a factor for all the teams. And for Ivory Coast, they've got four players suspended as well for the semi-final. So they're going to have to be changes. And yeah, tiredness could be a factor. And they've got players like Sebastien Haller, who's made a real impact off the bench. He's not fully fit yet. If he was fully fit, he'd be starting because he's made such a big difference for them when coming on. But I think tiredness will be a factor for all the teams going into the semi-finals. A question of who has rotated their squad the best. And some managers, like the Nigeria manager, hasn't really rotated.
No, and obviously Ivory Coast Mahare will take on DR Congo, who finally discovered how to win on Friday, having drawn all their group games. You know, that's an interesting story as well, isn't it? DR Congo, how do you see that matchup going? Because I would assume Ivory Coast will have to start as favourites simply because they're the hosts, but DR Congo haven't massively put a foot wrong, have they, during this tournament?
Not just during this tournament, Della. They haven't put a foot wrong throughout most of the year. They were one of the sides that CAF nominated as the men's national team of the year because, you know, at the beginning of qualifying for this AFCON, they probably weren't going to make this tournament. And then they make the coaching change. They bring on Sebastian De Sabre, and with him, they win, I think, 3 out of the last 4 matches of qualifying. They might have just drawn the other, and now they've carried that momentum into this tournament. What they do a really good job of is defensively, they play a 4-2-3-1, and sometimes they leave space between the lines, but defensively, their wingers and their attacking midfielders, they all come back and defend as a unit. Even the striker, Cedric Bakambu, does a good job of pressing. And the other thing, I mean, again, you do a statistical analysis of this team, and what they excel in as well is set pieces and crosses. They're the team that crosses the most in this tournament, now that Cameroon are eliminated. And especially, you know, the left back, Arthur Masuaku, and the right winger, Elia Meshek, they tend to put in a lot of those crosses. And Masuaku ends up scoring from a ridiculous free kick. When I think he tried to cross, but we've been having that debate with John here in the hotel room.
It was a short, Mahir. Don't spoil the fun.
Yeah, he meant it. It was a stunner, wasn't it? An absolute stunner. I mean, how do you call this one, this semi-final? I know we'll be building up to it again, I'm sure, on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, right up to Wednesday. But Ivory Coast, I can imagine it will just, the atmosphere will just continue to start building, and arguably DR Congo could maybe just go into it with a little bit of pressure off them, with the fact that they've got nothing to lose in the semi-final.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Mahir, but I don't know why. I'm thinking DR Congo. I just think this can't keep going all the time, this Ivory Coast escape act. At some point, someone is going to punish them for their poor defending and some of the mistakes they make tactically. And I think DR Congo, as you mentioned, Delhi, they've grown into the tournament. I thought that was a statement win against Guinea. Mm. What do you think, Mahir?
I wouldn't at all be surprised if DR Congo do manage to get past Cote d'Ivoire, but something just tells me, you know, the intangibles of being the host nation and that momentum and the spirit. And, you know, the additional pressure and the privileges of being that, you know, that host nation. I think something about that is going to add a little bit of salt and pepper to the Cote d'Ivoire, and they're going to get through.
Oh, I like that analogy, adding a little bit of salt and pepper to it. We must move on to South Africa now. Their quarterfinal against Cape Verde ended 0-0 after extra time. But then a hero stepped up for Bafana Bafana. Goalkeeper Ronwen Williams made an incredible 4 saves in the penalty shootout to send South Africa through with a 2-1 win. We heard from him a few moments ago. It is remarkable, isn't it, John? Very few of us ever see a match when a goalkeeper makes 4 penalty saves in a shootout. Remarkable stuff.
He's an absolute superhero. I've been looking at so it's the first time that's happened at an Africa Cup of Nations. I was looking at World Cups, and 4 goalkeepers have saved 4 penalties in a shootout. So Harald Schumacher did it twice for West Germany, Goycochea for Argentina, Subasic for Croatia, and Livakovic as well for Croatia. But I'm not sure how many of those shootouts went to sudden death, because he saved 4 out of 5, an incredible performance by Ronwen Williams. And on the latest World Football at AFCON podcast, I spoke to his good friend, the former South Africa captain, Dean Furman, and he's been telling me what the victory means for South Africa.
It's just huge, John, honestly. I mean, we've come relatively close before, losing to Nigeria in 2019 in the quarterfinals, was a last-minute goal. We lost in 2013 on penalties in the quarterfinals, but finally we've got over that hurdle, and what a way to do it. Absolutely phenomenal scenes, and Ronwen Williams is the toast of South Africa right now.
Nigeria next then in the semi-finals. What do you think? They did look a bit tired, didn't they? Particularly, you know, you're going to be tired after 2 huge games, beating Morocco and now beating Cape Verde on penalties, grueling extra time as well.
Yeah, I did feel Bafana looked tired tonight. They've started pretty much the same team from the group stages into the knockout stages as well, and there were some heavy legs out there. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, South Africa captain Dean Furman there, speaking to John on the World Football Podcast. Mahir, how impressed have you been by South Africa?
Yeah, very impressed. Another team that, you know, they were practically undefeated for the calendar year. They only lost one match to Rwanda, and that was in very, very difficult, rainy, and travel conditions. The thing about Bafana, as anybody's going to tell you, is that they have eight players that play for Mamelodi Sundowns in their starting lineup. 8.5 if we count Percy Tau, who came from that team as well. And what they do such a good job of is this passing interplay. You know, they play the ball out from the back. Ronwen Williams does a really good job distributing with his feet, but then working it through the midfield, through Taboa Mokwena, and to the attacking midfielders, Percy Tau. I think they just lack a real sharp, intense, goal-hungry striker. Evidence Makopa has done a good job in winning aerial duels and holding up play, but I just don't, I doubt a little bit of his goal-scoring instinct in front of goal. Apologies.
John, dare I say, I know you picked South Africa as your pre-tournament dark horses. I mean,
I didn't ask you to say that. I didn't
give you any money to bring that up. I've been listening
to the pod.
It's fantastic listening to the pod. If no one's listened and is listening to this, definitely worth checking out on a daily basis, the World Football Podcast at AFCON. So you're a happy man. We know this, John. What has been the key to their success then? Because clearly they proved you right in you picking them as dark horses.
Yeah, can I just say, it's a complete role reversal. My predictions are normally so bad, but we also did a video on social media of who would win the quarterfinals, and I got all four correct, so I'm on a roll here.
Okay,
it's going to end in the semi-finals. No, the key, I think Mahir's got the key to the success. Absolutely right. The fact they know each other so well, so many Mamelodi Sundowns players, but also the manager, Hugo Broos. That's why, in all seriousness, I picked them as my possible dark horse, because he has won AFCON before, 2017, the tournament in Gabon. He led Cameroon all the way to success, and it was a Cameroon team that had been written off because I think it was eight players had pulled out just before the tournament. They didn't want to play for Cameroon for various reasons. Everyone wrote them off, but somehow he built an incredible team spirit, us against the world mentality, and he got them to lifting the trophy. So I feel that he gets a bit of stick, actually, in South Africa, gets some criticism from the media, but he has completely turned opinions around. He's such a good manager, organises the team well, but also deals with all the noise so well as well around the team.
Yeah, Mahir, we've got to mention Cape Verde before we continue talking South Africa, because, you know, they've done themselves justice in a way. It's never nice to go out on penalties. I know you can argue, well, you should have scored in the full 90 minutes or the 120 minutes, but they've shown themselves to be good contributors, haven't they, at this AFCON?
And the thing is, Delith, I mean, when you look at their squad, they aren't so many superstars. The center half, Logan Costa, is a player that he's only 22 years old, and people think he'll be playing Champions League football in the near future. But other than that, they don't have top level players. I think this was really a credit to Bubista, their coach. I thought he outcoached Rui Vitória, who's the highest paid coach in Africa for Egypt. I thought he outcoached I forgot who else they played in. it's just flipped my mind.
Ghana.
Yeah, Chris Hughton. That's exactly who it was, who has Premier League experience. And then I even thought that he outcoached Hugo Broos yesterday, even though South Africa did end up going through. So what do we make of that? Is he as good of a coach as this tournament has led us to believe? And if so, then maybe he deserves a bigger gig elsewhere. But I am curious to see how they continue to do now in the World Cup qualifiers and if the momentum from this tournament carries on there.
And in terms of that second semi-final matchup, then Nigeria-South Africa. I say second semi-final, it's the first one on Wednesday, in fact, isn't it? But how do we see this one going? Nigeria against South Africa. I mean, it's got sort of, you know, stardust written all over it, hasn't it, John, to be fair?
Yeah, it's going to be a sensational match. It brings back memories of 2019. It was quarter-final, wasn't it, Mahir, between Nigeria and South Africa. And I think William Troost-Ekong in Cairo scored a really late winner. And yeah, you talk to South Africa fans about that. They're still hurt by that defeat. Dean mentioned the tiredness. You mentioned the tiredness as well, Delith. I think both teams will be very tired because both of them haven't rotated very much. But I just can't see South Africa scoring against this Nigeria team. Four clean sheets in a row. And at some point, Victor Osimhen is working so hard for the team, the floodgates will open for him. Mahir, what do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting match. South Africa want the ball. Nigeria don't. They've only averaged 45% possession. And what's interesting is that when South Africa played against Morocco, Morocco employed a similar tactic. They let South Africa have the ball in the first half, thinking that they couldn't really break them down. They both played stingy defense, just as Nigeria did. But I have my laptop open here in John's hotel room, Delith, and I was showing him that, you know, Morocco were sitting back, but South Africa, they found these little half spaces, and because they know each other so well, they had great combination play, and they opened the scoring that way. So I'm curious to see if South Africa can replicate that against Nigeria, because as John said, their defense has been so stingy, just conceded one goal so far.
I know, it's pretty impeccable, isn't it? And as he was saying, the floodgates are about to, or will open at some point, you feel, for Victor Osimhen, but crucially he's been a team player. You know, he's we're used to him scoring goals, aren't we? But ultimately at this tournament, he's been a part of the team. He's got assists. He's been a key figure in that area. You know, in that final third, and you do feel at some point he will add to that one goal that he scored in the group stage.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there, Delith. That was what really stood out to me at the match I saw on Friday, the Angola game. When you're in the stadium and you can watch what Victor Osimhen does off the ball, he is working so hard. The way he presses for the team, the way his energy, it really rubs off on the other players when they can see their star man. There are lots of big names in that team, but he is the star man in that team. When they can see him giving everything, giving 100% for the team, it does rub off on everyone else. And yeah, I don't think he minds actually that he hasn't scored that many goals. He just wants the team to win. He's a real team man.
And I think the vibe I'm getting from you both, having talked about those couple of matches, are we both sort of singing from the same hymn sheet that we're thinking it's going to be DR Congo against Nigeria in the final, Maher?
Maher's Ivory Coast, isn't it? I think Nigeria, DR Congo, but yeah, Maher's disagreeing with me.
It'll be tight. That one I could see 50-50. I just think, yeah, the salt and pepper, Del, with the salt and pepper. I think Cote d'Ivoire against Nigeria for me.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating the next few days. Maher, I've got to quickly ask you as well, in terms of an African football perspective, obviously no one there in the last four. How will you overview the tournament from the North African teams?
Yeah, it's been a disappointing tournament. Look, and I think that the lazy assumption to make is that, you know, the North African sides never have any success in sub-Saharan Africa. Obviously not the case for Egypt, but especially for teams from the Maghreb. And people just make a geographical point and they leave it at that. But me personally, when I look at the coaching that, you know, Morocco, Algeria, and especially Tunisia had, I thought it was really, really subpar, and that's what let them down. So I think there's going to be a lot of coaching changes. I wouldn't even be surprised if Morocco get rid of Walid Regragui after he took them to the semifinal of the World Cup. They're going to need better coaching in a year and a half's time.
Yeah, and John, I know I've heard you mention a few times on the podcast over the last few days that you think arguably this has probably been one of the most exciting tournaments in recent years. Do the semi-finals and the final need to deliver for that to properly be the case, do you think?
Yeah, that is a good point, actually, because those are the games you remember. You look back on, it's the semi-finals and the finals. It's always the business end that you remember. But certainly at the moment, yeah, it's definitely, for me, been the most exciting. The amount of goals is huge compared to the last AFCON. So when you look at the stats, it's definitely been the most exciting. The first 0-0 wasn't until day 12, I think, the last day of the group stage. But you're right, it's about the big games. Those are the games when the highlights packages are made in years to come. It'll be looking back at the final and the semi-finals. But I think the lineup we have will make for exciting football. So I don't think there'll be caginess. I think we will have two exciting semi-finals and lots of drama.
Let's hope so. Terrific stuff. Thank you both, John and Maher, for joining us. Enjoy the next few days in the build-up to those semi-finals.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.